Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, guys, across the tavern and across the country. It's the special Sports Talk Saturdays. Live from Oakland, California, where Bruce is. Yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles. Scott Morgenroth in South Florida. 347-205-9631. This show's an hour. It's 60 minutes. And, man, it goes by quick. If you miss it, catch the archive, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts. Powered we're now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, as I lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic, you came up with the bum run, and that took on a life all its own 2 weeks ago, Bruce. Here we go again. We're 95 strong right now. How can people get a hold of you, and how the hell are you?
Well, frankly, you pour the drink on, you have election night hangover. You pour the drink on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and today, you still have the hangover, and you haven't drank, but somebody's been pouring something in there. Anyway, I can be reached at holyroller91978@gmail.com and on Facebook. Scott?
All right, Bruce, good to hear you again. Mark, as always, man. But anyways, if you want to get a hold of me, go to Twitter, @TribuneSouth. That's @TribuneSouth. But most importantly, folks, please subscribe to the South Florida Tribune, T-R-I-B-U-N-E, YouTube channel, South, S-O-U-T-H, Florida, F-L-O-R-I-D-A, Tribune, YouTube channel, T-R-I-B-U-N-E, YouTube channel. Please subscribe there, and then you get more of Mark and I, as well as the rest, and good to be back. I'm sure we're going to have a pretty good...
Well, we got a load of people. Exactly, and I want to jump on these right off the bat. Carl coming in. We've got Danielle. We've got, here is Larry coming in from the Midwest of Champaign, Illinois. He said, man, the bum run movement swinging through Champaign. Move over the fight of the Illini. Well, we got the bum run movement. I don't know if there's T-shirts coming for this bum run movement, Bruce, or whatever, but they're starting to pick up track here. Here comes Miguel. He said, I just want to clarify with you bozos that Los Angeles is the sports capital of the world. 2020 what? World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers, 2020 NBA champion Los Angeles Lakers, FC, LA took the MLS Cup. The Rams are the Super Bowl champions from last year. Show me any city that's got four. You bozos keep spewing out some trash. This is not a sports talk. This is sports trash. Miguel, what are you drinking again?
Okay. I have one thing to say to him. I am going to hold my breath, and I am just going to wait till the end of this year. And I will answer that question because there's going to be a severe reduction.
All right. Well, I can top you there, Bruce. What I need to find out from Miguel, okay, is what his address is. I can send him a grilled cheese sandwich in a microwave for 4 minutes so when he goes ahead and puts his teeth in it, he will knock every one of them out. And if that isn't good enough, this happened when I was in 1985 when I couldn't cook, that I put the sandwich inside of a microwave. I could have taken that sandwich and could have broken a triple pane window. And if I ever see you in person, I'll take this sandwich and you might be where I was earlier, concussion protocol. So since it is Veterans Day today, I did have 2 strawberry margaritas, but I'm feeling really good because what do? When you follow up 2 strawberry margaritas, have a little caffeine so I can deal with a clown like you. Good stuff. Okay, we'll see at the end of the year, you know, and that's all I can say, Miguel. Hakuna Matata, no worries. I'll have my grilled cheese sandwich.
Bill from Monrovia chiming in. He says, hey, you know what? I'm on Miguel's side. He might have a point there. Well, first of all, Bill, put the whiskey sour down for a minute because I think Miguel has been drunk here ever since we last did the show 2 weeks ago. I know we archived it last week, but let's put the drinks down on this counter. I know happy hour starts a little early in parts of your area, but when you look at this equation, the Dodgers aren't the 2020 World Champions with me, because that's an asterisk behind it any way you slice it. They haven't won a world title in four decades playing a full season. So, first of all, let's get that out of the way. I'll give you the Lakers, the 2020 NBA champion, and the Rams snuck up on some people that, you know, the Ram fan can bring whatever they want to the equation. Tampa Bay should have pulled that game out to knock you out, and if they didn't, I don't know how the 49ers couldn't put you away in their backyard. They've beat you nine straight in the regular season. Okay, they got a hiccup along the way, but MLS, man, next somebody's going to tell me the WWE champion is from Los Angeles. What's going on here, Bruce?
Hey, Mark, let me say something, Bruce, for a moment, okay? I'm watching a rerun of Andy Griffith, okay? And Otis is drunk, okay? So if I got Miguel, okay, drunk, turn on TV Land or wherever you find me TV. I want you to watch Otis inside of the Mayberry Jail, okay, which is his weekly. I'm not sure what Miguel's doing right now. So, you know, let me tell you, Otis, I mean, now I got Miguel confused with Otis, whatever, man. Of all those cotton picking championships that you have out there, the only one that I honestly think might be legitimate of the group would be the Rams championship, because they did win it in, what, a 17-year campaign, 17-game season, excuse me, okay, is like they have. So that one's legitimate. I don't know about the other ones, but I give them that much. I really do. The MLS, big cotton picking. Oh,
well, giving it over to you, Bruce, let me send Miguel a little reminder. 1979, when my Steelers came in your backyard and punked you, and don't tell me about, well, you had it, coulda, shoulda, woulda. Vince Ferragamo couldn't pull it out. Youngblood couldn't do it. We beat you in your backyard 31-19, case closed with your Lambs. Bruce.
I'm not going to even – that's almost to the point where I don't even want to dignify these guys with an answer, you know? I agree sort of with the football thing, and I agree with the baseball thing. That is asterisk material. It does not warrant your praise of your hometown team. Again, I'm waiting till next year when that question comes up.
Right, that's the question that, you know, Miguel should find out. Okay, so you wanted to start with the football. Oh, sorry. Okay, Scott.
Here's the deal, bro. Okay. Since Kyrie Irving lost a sponsor and Phil Knight, maybe we can go ahead and get Nike as our sponsor a year from now, so we can go ahead and buy Miguel the best Tanqueray and tonic that he can have and have a fifth of tequila with it. So we'll have Phil Knight, yeah. Nike, have Otis / Miguel. So we got to make sure Miguel has a new nickname called Otis of Andy Griffith, okay? That Phil Knight will be our sponsor, and this guy will still be drunk, and nothing will change except our pocket marks. Go ahead, Mark.
Sal from Germantown chiming in basically said, well, maybe Miguel's suffering from defend and deflect. He doesn't want to face the music on his teams. They're really not that good.
what happens when you got a character like this? They drink themselves out of sorrow here because they're losing. So, you know, if you're looking for a little bit of moral support, just go ahead. Pull out the alcohol. That'll send you to La La Land. And no, I don't.
Mikey coming in from Pensacola. He goes, the bum run movement. I'm taking the lead from the Champaign, Illinois. I got some bum run guys that you might want to put 2 cents in. How about Cliff Stout? What a bum run that dude was. Wow.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Cliff Stout.
And listen, I could list a bunch of your quarterbacks like I can with the Oakland Raiders between certain quarterbacks and present starters that are kind of mind-blowing. But we'll get to that when the Bum Run show starts. And, yes, we will welcome you all. I'm looking forward to hosting it. I think it's going to be a blast. And on today's football news, I'm sort of looking at coaches on the hot seat, the whole Jeff Saturday thing. I'm going with this. We've already seen ESPN failure in transitions from the booth to the general management, Mike Mayock for the Raiders being the prime example. So I don't think it's a good move. And, yeah, I'm not saying – I don't care what you're white or black. And if you're black, it's probably even worse. You're an assistant coach, and this guy just jumps off the off the booth, oh, yeah, I centered for Peyton Manning, and he becomes head coach. I am in disagreement with that. I think it's lame. The other thing, too, is you have potential hot seat coaches. We already saw what happened to Frank Reich. There's Josh McDaniel. And you've got to go. I'm looking at the business move with Mark Davis. I'm going to let you guys talk in a minute. And there's another coach that I had who's leaving my mind here, who's on the hot seat. Well, let me think about that. Why don't you guys get to the things I just talked about right now?
Well, I'll let you go first, Scott, because I'll comment on that. I know you and I broke that down on Monday with Jeff Saturday.
Yeah, and we're going to do it again, too. I don't know why, for some crazy reason, Bruce, we might disagree on this one, buddy. I'm intrigued by the Jeff Saturday hot, and I'll tell you why I'm intrigued. I didn't think it was great. I mean, I said intrigued. Remember, Bruce, I want to make sure you're my teammate, that you're not on the bottle either, okay? Okay. But the reason why
I know the difference between intrigued and the other. Go on.
Oh, okay, but here's the deal. You've got a guy out here who doesn't, who's not going to really panic if he has about analytics with all these so-called new analytic guys. So why don't you have a guy for 7-8 games who's revered in the area, okay? Take a crack at it. Can you do a whole lot worse anyhow? You know, he's got veteran assistant coaches that will get him up to speed, and you see what happens. I think Frank Reich pulled the plug. I'm not worried about Matt Ryan, but what about Nick Foles? Don't you think he probably could have done something with the offense before you turn it over to an inexperienced rookie? So I'm intrigued by the Jeff Saturday. The guy's hungry. He's auditioning for the jobs. He's humble, right? You know what I mean? And the Colts have a good track record with African-American coaches, a la Tony Dungy.
Jim Campbell.
Okay. Jim Caldwell took him to the Super Bowl.
Caldwell.
Yeah, well, it's okay. But I'm intrigued by it. Before I sit there and think that Saturday can't do the job, let me just see what he does for us. He only has a 7-8 game window sample size before they have to have an outright full coaching search anyhow. I think in this case, you're everything to gain, nothing to lose with an owner who has an individual that he completely trusts and respects. But, Bruce, don't forget, he's also been a consultant with the Colts, too, so it's not like he doesn't know anything about the organization. He just hasn't coached on the collegiate and pro level. High school, I hear, wasn't good there, but doesn't matter. You know, I've seen crazier things happen. So I think it's safe to say give Saturday a chance to win on Sunday, and then we'll have a much more complete assessment by the end of the year before he's on house money. He's got everything to gain, nothing to lose. What's the worst thing that happened? He winds up in ESPN like Herman Edwards, really? So what? Can't do it. Go back to ESPN. They'll keep your seat warm. Right?
Good point. And I got to, with Jeff Saturday, I think Frank Wright, burned a bridge there. I mean, he was throwing everybody under the bus. The Colts were pretty, good in that stretch run last year. They couldn't win the last two games against the Raiders and the Jags. He throws Carson Wentz under the bus. And then, they get a Hall of Fame quarterback from the ATL and Matt Ryan. He throws him under the bus. I don't care about the injuries, but, using those as excuses. The Rams use them out here in Los Angeles. Jonathan Taylor, yeah, that's an injury, but this Colt team wasn't mentally prepared to play football this year. They were supposed to win this division. I don't know what the hell happened. And finally, Ursay took a stand and said, time for you to go, man. Go back to Buffalo, maybe, and back up Josh Allen.
I know. Well, Mark, you got to remember something, though. I was at the Jacksonville game against Indianapolis, and the Jaguars, to me, could have laid an egg, and they ended up getting the number one pick anyways. It didn't make any difference. And let's face it, you don't have Carson Wentz to throw under the bus this time. Now you have Matt Ryan, so you're going to keep blaming everybody? There has to be accountability there. So, Carson Wentz, to me, was a scapegoat there. But once he got down to Washington, you brought in Matt Ryan. What are you going to do, make a scapegoat out of him? At some point, like we talked about earlier, Mark, on our private conversation, at what point in life do people have accountability? And I think 90% of them don't anyway, so it doesn't matter. And if I get more hate mail, it's no big deal. I'm used to it.
Okay.
Go, Bruce.
I was going to move on to the next subject if you have something else you want to say there first.
Yeah. No.
Go ahead.
No,
okay. So we're speaking of Jeff Saturday and head coaching, and that other coach I said besides McDaniel was Cliff Kingsbury. But we're getting to this because Jeff Saturday is about to face Josh McDaniel. And I look at this as, you know, if the Raiders lose, wow, will he get fired by Mark Davis? I'm going to say no, because but Davis is a bad businessman, period. And I mean Mark. What Dennis Allen, not necessarily a good coach, but he put in Reggie McKenzie when they had to restructure a lot of contracts because Al made a lot of bad free agent signings at the time. Okay. Beyond that, you know, the Del Rio thing, he gets 3 years. He made one mistake in firing Bill Musgrave as an offensive coach. And Carr breaks his legs and gets gunshot. Signed him to a 4-year contract. After the first year, he fired him. So basically, there's Jack Del Rio getting $13 million for doing nothing. And then you have the Gruden fiasco here and Mayock. And now he's got Josh McDaniel, who he signed to a long-term contract, and there is more failure within the organization. It's going to get worse. Blake Martinez retired. Do you see Carr getting any better? I don't know. I'm not saying he's the worst quarterback in the league, but something is just totally misfiring. And this is McDaniel's second go-around. I don't know. What do you guys got to say about it?
Well, here's the deal.
No,
okay, first of all,
Scott, and I'm getting comments up the yin-yang here.
That's okay. You answer the comments, and I'll answer the question. We're good. So here's the deal. The biggest mistake they made was they should have promoted Rick Biasaccia to take over the helm. After all, he got them to the playoffs. If you have an interim guy that serves to get the full-time job, you do it. How many times have you seen a lot of interim guys perform well as their audition? Bring them on. But, no, you want to go with the sickly hire? Well, you got it. Now, in terms of how long I think McDaniel could last, I would say, well, I think he makes it through year one, but year number two, if, depending on what happens. We all saw what happened with the Devontae Adams, Derek Carr thing. That didn't work out so good. They're going to have to make a decision on Carr at some point. You keep this guy or you don't. And Devontae Adams went there to play with him, so they have a little bit of Las Vegas drama there. So I think the reality is that they should have kept Rick Biasaggi is what they should have done. They were riding the momentum of success after he cleaned up that Gruden situation. You bring in a guy like Josh McDaniels, and what do you have? Yeah, more drama, high expectations, and you're back to losing again. So they erred there. They should have promoted the interim guy. I realize you had to go through the Rooney Rule process to go out there and interview minorities, but Rick Biasaccia, you should have promoted him from within. He did a good job.
Well, here we go, guys. You know, you're absolutely right. And Quinn coming in from Novi, Michigan, said,
really?
"I know we're not running the show like this with bums, but Darko Milicek was the worst bum. When you put him into the equation, I can throw in Nervous Purvis Ellison." And now we're getting Mindy coming in from Mesa saying Matt Leiner and Heath Shuler.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh, my God.
Heath Shuler's a bum. Heath Shuler's a bum.
Hey, Mark, I'm sorry, Bruce. Tell this guy from Novi, I'm from Farmington Hills, Michigan. He'll know where that's at because I used to live in Novi, too. And I want you to tell him that he can listen to Fire Up Michigan on Monday night around 8:30 Eastern time. You know you're not on it for now.
Right.
He can listen to Fire Up Michigan. It's a show he'd like to be introduced. Oh, yeah. Darko Milicek was a mistake. I get that. And they let Carmelo and Anthony. But tell this guy, I like guys from my neck of the woods. Novi is about 5-10 minutes away from Farmington Hills where I live. So this Novi character is okay in my book. Just tell him to watch Fire Up Michigan. We'll be good.
Wow. I just got a geography lesson.
South Florida City,
so,
YouTube. Novi.
Anyway, the bums, I got you bums when the show starts. Believe me, we're going to have a lot of fun with it. I'm looking at the PSG thing. That's correct. Again, this will be a case if, like you say, McDaniel doesn't make it through the second half of the year, which I don't think he's going to do because right now that offense has to outscore very bad defense. I've noticed this. They can't tackle a dummy. I mean, the Raiders are bad. It's not happening there. And again, I'll just reiterate, it's another one of those business decisions, aside from, you know, the on the field aspect, where you're going to be paying some guy millions of dollars to sit on his behind. Now for Mark Davis, a done deal. You go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, God, I'm telling you, as much as we keep trying to tell these people the bum runs hasn't started yet, these people are coming out. I'm getting Stromile Swift comments in Washburn.
Nice.
Oh, my God.
What did he say? Did he say excellent Chris Washburn?
Yes, yeah. Stromile Swift and Washburn.
That one.
Somebody
that
brought up,
yeah.
How about Robert Tractor Trailer?
Oh yes, he was a bum. He was a bum, Michigan. I remember him. Yeah. Stromile Smith is a crown jewel. That's a beauty. Chris Washburn, I don't have to talk to me about. I'm a Warriors fan, but Stromile Swift, beautiful, beautiful.
I'll tell you one thing. If you ever get the shirts printed up on this show, Bruce, whoever can figure out where Stromile Swift played in every team in the NBA, they should get a free shirt.
I myself won't get that shirt. No, that's beauty. That is an incredible beauty.
Stromile Swift.
Yes,
well,
indeed.
So you guys,
here's
what you guys are doing. You're picking on Robert Trailer, right? Tractor Trailer. You're picking on a dead man. This guy died in May 11, 2011, at the age of 34. You're picking on a dead man, and he can't even defend himself. Shame on you, man. I'm throwing a vodka wherever the hell that comment came from.
Well, I will tell you this, and you're right. You know, you bring up an interesting point. I will tell you this. Today I lost my favorite comedian, and you can have all these guys. I'd take Gallagher any day of the week over everybody else. And the only other one that I really liked was Henny Youngman there, Henny Youngman with the violin. Any comment on that, guys? But Gallagher, one of the best.
Come on, Rodney Dangerfield, man. Rodney.
Yeah, he was good.
Rodney. He's great.
Hey, but you know
he
what?
Lasted a long
Rodney
time.
Rodney Dangerfield credit. You know what? If you ever want to locate his grave, because I remember when I had back surgery back in, I think, 2009 or whatever, at least the guy's buried next to Farrah Fawcett out in California. So if you want to see Farrah, you get Rodney with it. I wouldn't say they're soulmates, but they're definitely popular. He had a comedian and an angel.
Barney from Boise, Idaho, coming in. He goes, man, the bum run, baby. I want to get in on this. But I got some names, guys. The best names in all the major sports.
He's
got to
stop it. We got to stop it right here. When the show hits, you will get your shots in. So I was going back to today's world. The Cliff Kingsbury, it's interesting, and I think Kyler Murray's kind of connected to this. And I see Murray makes some very exciting plays, like, you know, wow, he gets 15 yards when he's on third and 15 for the first down, and he's still going, and somebody knocks the ball out from behind him, and it goes to the defensive back, who is probably the last stop between him and the end zone. I've seen this three or four times, and that's not on Cliff Kingsbury. But the record will be, and I guess, you know, he's this Mr. Offense. I see Cliff Kingsbury getting fired at the end of the year because they will not make the playoffs, guys.
Yeah, you know what? It's pretty hard to debate that. Come on, Bruce, let's face it. You know, to me, Cliff Kingsbury's had more lives than Morris, and Morris even stopped at 9. So, you know, yeah. I think
gosh.
By the way, let me go ahead and go back to Rodney Dangerfield because I don't know why. It's one of those beautiful Veterans Day. My wife is around. We're getting errands all done. But if you ever want to see Farrah Fawcett, who's buried next to Rodney Dangerfield, Mark, go to Westwood Village Memorial Park. You ought to know where that's at because it's your neck of the woods. So, you know, if you want to go out there and see Rodney, there's right nearby. Okay, back on the Cliff Kingsbury. I don't know where Morris was born, but I can tell you right now, okay, you know, Cliff Kingsbury might be the latest guy headed back to college as a lot of these. You're going to have a lot of interesting college football vacancy.
Well,
you never know if he'll want to, but he's definitely under fire for sure.
Ricky's coming in. It's Miguel's friend, and he said, my friend Miguel, he don't drink. I don't know what you guys say, but he's right. I don't know too much sports, but I live in the best city, L.A. Ricky. Wow. Okay, Ricky. Do you ever get outside your front porch? I mean, there's a lot of great cities across this country, my friend. I'm sure the Fountain Blue Hotel in Miami's nice. I'm sure, you know, the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco is nice. But if you don't know sports and you're going to tell us your city and this guy doesn't drink, is well, obviously you both are drinking the same bottle.
Bruce. That was kind of a point. That's kind of a pointless for him to even bother us with that, to be honest.
No. Hey, no, Bruce, it isn't pointless because now you got another one listening to the show. I mean, you got another.
I got to sell out here.
It doesn't matter. Hey, listen, you know what? We'll send this guy over to Westwood Village Memorial Park so he can visit Rodney Dangerfield. That way I won't give him any respect the same way Rodney never got any either.
I just came up with a take, guys. I think we might have to sell some tickets to the Ricky and Miguel there and maybe include a bottle with the price of admission to the Sports Talk Saturdays. I don't know what your take is on it.
Happy Veterans Day, sick man.
Well, I got a subject I want to talk about because I'm a happy guy. The Pirates picked up G-Man Choi, man. Picked up a first baseman. I hear we're going to be really active in the free agents. Brandon Drury, rumored to go to Pittsburgh. Will Meyer, Michael Wacha. So the Pirates could be, spending some money there. But let me tell you something. I like G-Man Choi. You know, you get to see him a lot down there in Florida, Scott. And Bruce, you probably, you know, don't get him as much as I do. But I like this guy. He's a great first baseman, very consistent. The Pirates have gone through first baseman since Josh Bell left. But I don't know what you're thinking of, guys, but I'm pretty happy with the first baseman Pittsburgh picked up.
Well, I guess, you know, you should be because the standards aren't very high there in the first place. If you can go ahead and pluck a first baseman from the Tampa Bay Rays, you got to remember their farm system's pretty good. But if the Pirates think they can make enough, they with G-Man Choi, aka Egg Foo Young, or whatever Korean dish is out there, because I don't know much about Korean food, so be it. But if they think that's an upgrade, so be it. But, you know, sorry to burst your bubble, Mark, you know, but let me see them spend $20-30 million on a free agent maybe once in a while in my lifetime, they might catch my attention. But let me tell you, if the Tampa Bay Rays are going to let you go, that means that they got a farm system so stacked that they've got somebody already to take this guy's place. And I think, what was he going to earn, like $4.5 million in arbitration anyways or whatever? It's not like they're spending a pretty penny there. And, you know, so when you start looking at the road from Pittsburgh to Tampa, the only road that you have is the fact that the Pittsburgh Steelers won a Super Bowl in Tampa against Arizona. Now you're talking about the viable connection. And by the way, Bruce and Mark, I was at that game, just so you know. Okay, so Tampa,
well, Bruce,
Pittsburgh, by a Super Bowl, but not this.
Right. Okay, well, Bruce, I don't know if you want to, you know, work this with me on this one, but, you know, I understand what Tampa's doing. You know, they let Waddle go. Last year they let you know, now Choi go. Usually it doesn't come back and bite you in the ass. But here's the thing, Bruce, before I give it over to you, they let Charlie Morton walk, and he did very well for, Atlanta.
Well, here's the thing with Tampa. They've been doing it for a long time. And, yeah, Charlie Morton, okay, one of those people that they let go. In general, the people that Tampa have let go, aside from Charlie Morton, of course, have not done as well as they did in Tampa. And there is always somebody who comes up to replace him who's very, very good. It's the old Billy Beane method, but of course that is dead now in Oakland. But it's the old Billy Beane method. So Tampa's not going to suffer. You guys are improving yourself slightly, and good for you. And over here, you don't know what Oakland is doing. You don't know if they're even going to trade last year's starting catcher. The Giants rumor is Aaron Judge is on there. They decided to give Jock Peterson, he's got another year, or he can exercise his option. I'm kind of scratching my head on that. A lot of money, but then again, there's not that much firepower left. Rodon has a decision to make, and that's really about it. And there's, of course, Aaron Judge looms. but I won't say anything about that. Yeah, you guys, it would be a great thing to sign him for the Giants, but I don't know whether that's going to happen, because I know about the Yankees will throw, you know, the kitchen sink to do it. So it's probably between those two, and somebody's going to outbid the other. And yeah, go ahead.
Here's the deal. The Tampa Bay Rays find a way to get to the playoffs every year. They don't get very far in the playoffs, but they find a way to make the playoffs every year because they have an exceptional farm system, an even more exceptional manager, and a pathetic stadium. It's trying to make chicken feathers out of you fill in the blank, okay? And then you guys can understand they're making a lot out of nothing, right? So they'll find a way to get to the playoffs. If they feel that they're going to let a player go, they think that they've run the gamut on the guy. You know what I mean? And they do what they have to try to do. Hey, listen, you know, how many teams give their right arm to at least make it to the playoffs every year just to have a chance? And the Tampa Bay Rays are doing it in a doormat stadium. And we talk about the Oakland A's difficulties, you know, about where they're going to stay. Well, Major League Baseball still has another problem in Tampa where they're hoping to get them out of St. Peter's, bring them over to Hillsborough County in the Tampa area. So they're making the best out of what they have over there. In that area, and I hope they do well. I used to live there, too, at USF near South Portable, and now in Southern Florida. The Marlins have a great stadium in a bad neighborhood, and the Rays have a bad stadium, and they need to be in another neighborhood across the bay where the population base is. So, you know, I won't knock the Rays' success on the field. I think that they can obviously spend more money if they were in a much better stadium situation than they're currently at. So take it for whatever it's worth. We're always going to talk about this topic with Oakland and Tampa until resolutions are made one way or the other. And that leads over, Mark and Bruce, to team building is what it does in terms of what resources you have. Hey, listen, the Pirates have a brand new stadium. We've seen a few playoff appearances, so they broke that horrendous drought of 20 years in a row under 500, so at least they don't have to live with that one for a while. And many of us will be dead.
Here's the thing, Scott and Bruce. You know, And Bruce brought up an interesting thing, like you are, Scott. You know, we don't have Billy Beane playing that baseball in Oakland. I think if he put two of those teams together as far as Oakland and Tampa, I would have to lean more towards Oakland, because I think what Billy Beane did over in Oakland was just simply amazing with the haves and the have-nots, especially playing in a multi-purpose stadium and all that. They could say whatever they want about Tampa, but Tampa had the luxury of really drawing some big crowds with some of the Eastern teams coming down there, especially Boston and New York. And, right, you know, Oakland really didn't have that luxury. But if you're going to tell me who knows how to build a team faster, and now we're really getting some people coming in. Yeah, we see Mitch. We see you, Nick, John. Jay, oh, my God. Here comes Ben, Bruce, Bruce.
Well, Mark.
Now somebody's telling me Kansas City built a hell of a team, too. Well, I don't know about that. You know,
well,
in the George Brett era and everything, but yeah.
Yeah, but here's the thing. You'll never get a debate from me whatsoever about Billy Beane. Can you imagine what Billy Beane would have done in a market where he had resources? That's the scary. But, yeah, he did an incredible job in Oakland, again, making a lot out of nothing. Now, if I had to compare Billy Beane and the Tampa situation, yeah, I guess you could say I'd give the nod to Billy Beane playing in a multi-purpose stadium that needs a wrecking ball worse than needs anything else anyways. But, yeah, there's no question about it. But the Rays have done well with Joe Maddon and Kevin Cash. Give them their due. But I'll take Billy Beane all day long if I could get him as my general manager. No debate there whatsoever, Mark.
Well, Carlos coming in. Basically coming in from the Fairfax district. He says, guys, it sounds like you don't know soccer. You might need a little education. They run courses in junior colleges and four-year universities. All you have to do is sit in the stands and take notes. You should acknowledge soccer champions, the MLS, LAFC. Oh, my God, Carlos, wow. I'll tell you, the World Cup's coming up here. We got to go back to school, boys. We got to go back to school, according to Carlos.
With World Cup coming in, Carlos, I'm sorry. This year, I pay no attention to American soccer. I watch occasional Premier League. And, you know, if I'm in the right place at the right time, they'll have La Liga and all of that stuff. But let's the MLS versus the World Cup, I will ignore it the same year that the World Cup is. And that's that. No offense to the sport in general. I'm a little weak on it, but I always look forward to what World Cup, and my underdog pick is England. Next.
Okay. I'm going to give you a little piece of soccer trivia that you only get from Fort Talk Saturday here on Veterans Day. Okay, ready? And here's what I know about soccer. Number one, I cover Inter Miami, and yes, they did make it to the playoffs. But here's the thing. I have to admit that I do take Trazodone and Tizanidine when I need to sleep at night, because those are my sleeping pills. So here's the deal, okay? You ready for this, Bruce and Mark, okay? When Farrah Fawcett and Michael Jackson died on June 25th, 2009,
wow.
I was at Holy Cross Hospital. And why am I bringing this up? Because I had major back surgery, and I had morphine. And I'll tell you, if there's a sport that needed, I believe Brazil was playing Spain, or one of those things were playing, and they had it in my hospital room while, you know, I was in intensive care, okay? And let me tell you, soccer is the best thing in the world when you need to be put to sleep. And when you're having major back surgery, I'm going to tell you, I would recommend any hospital that you have, put soccer on. That's better than morphine.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, and I'm gonna give Carlos a little history lesson here. I did follow the MLS, and my favorite team back then, watching it, was the Columbus Crew. Great logo, man, and stuff. But when you want to educate us on soccer, my father-in-law educated me on it, and I've been following it ever since. 36 years strong with this thing, and yeah, the Italians are out of the World Cup. It's a travesty not to see them in it. But, you know, let me ask you something, Carlos, and if you're out there with Ricky and Miguel and all these other guys, how come when one team gets beat, you guys get on all these Latin countries? Take one team in the World Cup. If Mexico gets beat, then you're done. Why are we getting on Brazil and, you know, I'm gonna claim the Spain and all this? Take one team. We don't, you know, that's what you should do. You know, and I don't quite understand that with the soccer. Maybe I need some education on this. Take one team when the tournament starts, and then when your team goes down, no more talking about it. Don't hop on all these other Latin countries. Any take to that, Bruce?
No. All I can tell you is if USA ever wins the World Cup, they ought to just ban the sport. We're not good enough fans to do it. It's the most popular sport in the world aside from here. So soccer is what soccer is. I kind of like it, and I always watch World Cup, and occasionally, like I said, some of the higher-end soccer, but it's not going to be the first choice for me. But I will be watching World Cup, and I am not picking any of the Latin countries. Brazil and all that. It's like, come on, you get this. It's easy to pick a lot of these countries. I'm going with
sure
the horse in my book is England. England, all the way.
And you know what, Scott, he brings up a great point, because – I've noticed that, and I've talked to people about it. I go, how come you pick up, you know, if there's 8 to 10 of these Latin countries and you one team gets knocked out, you're jumping on the others. Take one team. That's it. I'm not taking every European team if Italy gets beat. Come on, man. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. And they try to educate you and go, well, you know, it's the same thing. And no. If you're going to take one team and your team gets knocked out, pick up your soccer ball and go home, and we'll see you in 4 years. That's all.
Yeah, but let me tell you, my co-host, you got it all wrong. Soccer is not a bad sport. You need indoor soccer, for God's sake. Wake up, man. I remember when I was growing up as a kid, indoor soccer. The Fort Lauderdale Strikers had a team at the Hollywood Sportatorium. I never saw the place, by the way.
Oh, my God.
Indoor soccer. Forget about this other stuff that puts you to sleep. It makes me feel like I'm back at Holy Cross Hospital watching it in intensive care. I mentioned that earlier. You know what? That's the way these people are. They call it football, right? F-U-T-B-O-L. The only football I know is that thing called a pigskin, okay? But they even have the terms all mixed up about football. And you can't even
Janice from Okeechobee, Florida, chiming in. She says, I think the three amigos out there might be suffering some disorders, could be contributed to the earthquakes out there. But I'm going to start a league and see if these three guys want to play in it. It's going to be underwater basket weaving. Can I get their applications?
Yeah, I want to buy a pickleball. doing that. Let me tell you something. For us three amigos, talk about this stuff, and all they do is get the comment on it. So the way I look at it is this, okay? These three amigos, okay, number one, now I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I don't respect soccer, because many years ago when I was covering the Fort Lauderdale Strikers back in the early 80s, one of the PR guys who ended up becoming one of my best friends, you know, we ended up, the media took on the Striker staff, and, you know, we did it on the practice field. I think I suffered a sprained ankle when I got taken down by a hit and ended up having to do a Don Shula interview over at St. Thomas University in his office. Not the worst consolation prize, by the way. So I respect what they go through. I'm watching the game. I see that these guys got to be really well-trained athletes. But you know what? Still the one sport that puts me to sleep. So you can say anything you want. Who am I rooting for, okay, in this thing? I don't even know who's in it, and I really don't frankly care. I know when the Detroit Lions are out of it, I always pull for the Green Bay Packers because, number one, I've always liked them, and it's my wife's team, so I have an alternative team there. But when it comes to soccer, wake me up and I figure out who's winning it. The only thing I'll say about soccer, though, and, Mark, you know, I talked about it all over the week on some other shows, that the World Cup is in the wrong place at Qatar, with all the corruption and the bribery scandal that got the thing there. So you got to do a better job.
Everybody knew that when it was awarded to them. You have soccer is always in, how shall we say, moderate to large countries, because they have to have a lot of venues, and not countries that are in over 100 degree weather year round. And Qatar is very small. It's like, how many venues are you going to have? You're not going to have many venues. It's World Cup. There's got to be lots of stadiums and lots of places in soccer-mad countries. You knew there was bribery and stuff just to get it to that place alone.
Well, Sepp Blatter already admitted, number one, Qatar, I think, is smaller than the state of Connecticut. So if you're trying to put something on small, while Connecticut isn't very big, and neither is Qatar, they admit that they screwed up with that selection. So, and the human rights, forget that. That was bad anyhow. But you got to put it in a place where you can spread it. I'll be darned if Qatar's a place to do it. And I think they'll probably modify the criteria to get it down the road. I think a lot of, you know, and how much you want to bet that the venues that they have there after the World Cup is done will go to hell in about 3 to 5, 6 years and be on the abandoned venue list. That's what you're going to see in Qatar after all this chaos is done in that little country. But, yeah, you talk about the World Cup coming up being timely, whatever the case is. Yeah, in a country that didn't deserve it in the first place. And we're trying to pick a winner. Soccer fans are probably more guilty about their fights outside the arena, stadium, as well as on the field. And how many times you've seen those fights break out? You know, they're compassionate. And then they have, wasn't there a guy out in Argentina or wherever that got killed after they lost the World Cup? I don't remember. But I think you got to know what I'm talking about.
Colombia.
So, yeah, they take the sport seriously, and I hate to bring up this negative commentary about the sport, but the reality is I realize they're rabid fans. And you know what? I don't believe in jumping on one or the other because my problem is I don't even know any of the players on any of the teams anyways. You can't even get me to watch the English Premier League or some of these other ones. The only thing I know about soccer is Manchester United played a game over at Michigan Stadium, and they drew a lot of people. That's what they did. Manchester United, Manchester City, I guess Real Madrid, whatever they call it. They have a few of these. Chelsea. Those are the only, and if you ask me who the players are, I don't even know anything about rugby. And that's the closest thing to football. So we're getting into some here about all this
Bart
stuff.
Bart coming in from Tucson, he said, this show is getting crazy. Chimes in, said, well, To start the sport of soccer costs you $10. All you need is a soccer ball.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you what. If you go over to the Goodwill store, you might be able to get it for $5 at the Goodwill store. That's okay. Big deal. And in California, what will happen they might charge you $5.78 for the soccer ball.
Can't seem to get rid of Ricky again. He just chiming his hole in. He goes, guys,
Mark,
I can do it. When are you going to open up to the listeners to run the sports show? Because you three guys need to be fired.
Ricky. Well, Ricky. I'm thinking, when I hear a name like Ricky, right away I think of Ricky Martin. I don't know why. Or Ricky don't lose that number. I mean, I don't know. Tell me, guys, if I'm on to something.
Hey,
like, we're gonna...
Let's be fair. Let's be fair. Ricky Henderson.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, here's the deal, Ricky. Is this the guy here? Okay, talking Ricky.
Yeah.
Okay. When we get fired, will be when Donald Trump gets rehired. Okay. And I don't get political on a whole lot of topics, but he says you're fired. Well, American people said, guess what, Donald, you're fired. And we know what we have instead, but that's beside the point. But you know, get back to my rugby analogy and all these other things here. No, I want to go back to my California. You buy a soccer ball for $5.78, and then they go ahead and say, you want to round it up to $6 so we can take care of the homeless population in L.A.? Sure, 22 cents, another 20 cents here, 20 there. Oh, my goodness. We might be able to buy a TV dinner on the street if you can find the microwave someplace.
Right. I mean, yeah. I think that, you know, when you looked at it, and Bruce, I can watch the Chelseas and the Real Madrids and stuff. You know, those type of leagues. I can't get into some of these other ones. I mean, the MLS is fun, you know, with the Columbus Crew and Philadelphia Union and stuff. But I think the World Cup, and here's my problem with the World Cup, and it happened, I think it was in 94 between Brazil and Italy. Should never come down to penalty kicks and Baggio missing that. They should have played it till somebody at least dropped or somebody put the ball in the net. I mean, it 4 years in the making, and you get it down to penalty kicks? Come on, man. That's a joke.
I understand that.
Joke. That's my thing with soccer, and I'm sure we'll get ripped across the board and, you know, on this one.
I mean, look at how many sports are doing shootouts and other things, baseball, for instance, just trying to monkey with the rules to try to shorten the time of a game. It's not soccer alone. I mean, penalty kicks, you have shootouts in hockey, you know, and you have one overtime of football, and they've monkeyed it so to try to make it fair, because honestly, it wasn't fair the first time. So I'm not going to lay it at the foot of soccer, but yeah, I don't like to see anything done on shootouts. Not at all.
Yeah, rightfully. You know. Adam coming in from Modesto, California, says, guys, I love this show. Can I add something? I know you haven't started anything, but the worst overrated managers that did nothing, Gene Mauch and Alvin Dark and Gene Mauch, along with Jace Tingler. Well, we're not going to get into a big debate on that one, but
Alvin Dark, man, this guy
must be our age. Alvin Dark.
Well, let's give Dark – I'll give Dark slight credit. He did make it to a World Series with the Giants. Gene Mauch, boy, he was around forever, wasn't he? And Jace Tingler, you give this guy who had one year or so, and it was recognized he wasn't good. Bum managers that have stuck around, you could actually – I love the football – on the football side of it, you had Norv Turner. He stuck around.
Well, he had – Marty Schottenheimer too.
Schottenheimer got a lot.
The only thing he didn't do was win a Super Bowl. And in terms of piling on to Gene Mauch, let me tell you, this schmuck out there's got to realize he didn't have many good teams with the Expos either. So, you know,
you're absolutely right, Scott. And the one team he had something with, but he just couldn't seem to put it together, was the Angels.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm not going to lean on Gene Mauch. This guy that's insulting Gene Mauch better go to Montreal and have a few croissants on our, and we'll put it on our expense account. Is that what they serve in Montreal?
Wasn't Gene Mauch the manager in Philadelphia when they had that epic collapse to the Cardinals to lose the pennant?
Yeah, but I'm not. Let me tell you, there's other managers, Bruce, that I could certainly.
I'm not saying that he was bad. He got him that far.
Right.
I'm just trying to reaffirm.
Right. No, I know. I'm not putting Gene Mauch in a bum rush discussion. No way. Whoever brought him up, think a little harder, and you have about 11 minutes or so, if that, to Google up somebody more legitimate than Gene Mauch. I'm not drinking that Kool-Aid.
I wouldn't call him a bum.
Long enough to be able to form an opinion on. He had Bob Melvin.
I agree.
Why the heck? you hired Bob Melvin, for crying out loud. It's not the worst thing in the world that they single left, and all you did was bring in Bob Melvin via Oakland.
True.
Upgrade.
True. Well, there's, when the Bum Show comes on, we'll have much more time for those these wonderful discussions. I'm trying to think of some other things that are going on in the immediacy right now. Aside, the Kyrie Irving thing, I think, is just being talked about too much. And I know you want to stay out of basketball there, Scott.
Well, actually, I disagree with you. I actually disagree with you, okay, about Irving. And I am going to bring it up. Okay. Number one, Kyrie Irving should be blackballed from the NBA. Number two, okay, Adam Silver is a spineless doormat. Bring back David Stern, okay? And then we'll see Kyrie Irving with it. Okay, to me, if you want to play patty cake, Baker's Man basketball, watch it, because that's what you've got. The only thing good about the NBA is the Milwaukee Bucks and Giannis Antetokounmpo, who, and this team is, if they hadn't have lost Middleton last year, probably would have won the whole thing. I think they would have won the whole thing. So what's good to talk about? The Milwaukee Bucks, what, in the front of franchise record, 9 in a row. They're like 10-1. And I believe that Giannis Antetokounmpo didn't even play against Oklahoma City, and they still beat them in overtime. There is something good. Not a whole lot, okay? Dusty Baker wins the championship, which is good. And what do you get? The general manager gets let go because they couldn't agree on a contract. So that'll be something to talk about down the road with the Astros. You know, so, you know, to me, Kyrie Irving should be blackballed. You know, it isn't just so much this recent episode. It's the collection of things that's led to this breaking point where the guy went over the deep end. It really, really is. And I think you always have to stay with these trending subjects. You know, I mean, we could sit here and lean on Jeff Saturday. You know, if you want to go to Carolina, okay, what about Steve Wilks? He got a raw deal out in Arizona.
Yes, he did.
I hope Steve Wilks gets an opportunity to earn that job in Carolina. He shuffled up the coaching staff. They've had a couple of big trades, and last night played a very inspiring football game on national TV. Well, somewhat, if you tell that Amazon that, if you can find it. But yeah, I don't know. So, you know, there's a lot of things out there. You know, you want to sit here and criticize the Rooney Rule? Well, it doesn't apply when it comes to interim situations. You know, so it's been a pretty eventful week.
Barry coming in from Boulder, Colorado, said Doug Moe was another loser. What did he ever win? I'll tell you one thing with Doug Moe. He had some crazy outfits. Somebody's throwing in Jack Ramsey. That's unfair.
Exactly,
the Jack Ramsey
exactly.
One's unfair. He won. He won with the 77 Trailblazers.
Not Dr. Jack. No, Dr. Jack is not a bum.
No. No way. No. He won with the – I remember that was a high-rated – that 76er team was a dangerous team in 77. And Portland really only had two guys, Maurice Lucas – And Bill Walton. And they won that series.
Yeah, but you know, I got to say one thing. Mo, though, to his credit, he's still in the NBA record book with Chuck Daly in a game which is the all-time high-scoring game.
Oh, geez. Now I'm getting guys. Somebody said, what did Dan Devine ever win? Dan Devine.
Excellent choice.
Dan Devine.
God.
Marty Morgan
Green
week
Bay
now
Packers,
is coming
Notre
in.
Dame.
Oh, my God. Marty Morgan week.
He took his motorcycle and ran out of training camp with it.
I can't keep up with these guys. Raymond Berry. Raymond
made
Berry
to
with
a,
the New England
made it to a Super Bowl. I did hear Marty Morgan week. Nice one. Nice one there.
Yeah, no, that was all right. Yeah, well, you might as well put Matt Millen in there, too, if you're going to do that, because he's a schmuck that ironed him in the first place.
I've got three of them up here, and, guys, we're almost running out of the show. Let me just get the June Jones is on. June Jones.
Excellent.
June Jones. Oh, my God. Yeah. Jack McKeon. No, I disagree with the Jack McKeon.
No, Jack McKeon.
Yeah, Jack McKeon knew how to pull a trigger on stuff.
Yeah,
Jack McKeon was, you know, Brad Ausmus. Oh, my God. I covered Brad Ausmus down in San Diego.
Yeah, he was. But Brad Ausmus got more than one chance.
Leave Brad alone. I like the guy. Him and I have done some
Yeah, I like Brad a lot, too. Yep, I totally agree.
As a bench coach, he's going to get a job in the front office once and for all. Good for Brad. More power to him. I'm not piling on my man. Rich, there's certain guys that don't.
Somebody just threw in Rich Kotite.
Oh, great one. Excellent. Rich Kotite. That's a band after my own heart with Rich Kotite.
Rich
Kotite.
Why are you going to do that? I don't know. I should have asked this guy. If he was involved with that, was it Joe Pizarcik with that whole fumble with the Giants and Eagles?
No, I don't remember. He was not the coach. Kotite was with the Jets, and they had a miserable couple of years.
Yeah.
Wow. Kotite was anything on that. Yeah, Kotite, I can't remember who the coach was for the Giants then.
Hey, Mark.
Unbelievable.
Put Eric Mangini in your list.
Eric Mangini. God, Eric Mangini.
Yeah,
unbelievable, man. God, I'll tell you, man, we've gone over 602, it looks like, and we got about 4 minutes and some change in the show. We're back the next Saturday, guys. High noon, it looks like, on the East Coast, 9 o'clock in the morning on the West. Bruce, when's this bum run? Man, this bum run is taking on a life of its own. We can't shut these people down.
No, we don't intend to give... Well, yeah, we will expand our time. Trust me, we're working on this, folks, and there will be a time and a place. And we enjoy this, especially when people come up with Stromile, Swift, and Rich Kotite.
Stromile, Swift—that's the class. That's right up there with the Bosworth one and the Mandarich one 2 weeks ago. Stromile, Swift.
Oh,
he's dead. He can't defend himself. Don't pick on
Robert Tractor Trailer. Oh, my God.
Kelly Trepuka. Kelly Trepuka.
Kelly Trepuka, another one out of Notre Dame.
Leave Kelly alone. He had a decent career, Bruce. Come on. You can do better than that. Leave Kelly alone. I see people have worse careers than him. Trust me.
Tommy coming in from Lincoln Heights. I guess he's coming in out of Chicago. He said, there's old bums in Detroit. I don't know about that. The Pistons kept kicking your ass before you got Michael Jordan there.
And I have three names for him. If he's from Chicago, that wonderful trio that Walter Payton had to put up with. Bob Avellini, Mike Phipps, and Vince Evans. That's all I need to say about Chicago.
All right. Well, good. I'm glad this show are sticking up for my hometown. Say what you want about Detroit, but I'm proud to be born and raised in the metro Detroit area, and I always will be. So you want to stick it to my hometown, I got my teammates, and I will stick it to you. Because I tell you, I think Chicago is a great city. I really do. But some of the people like you that are trying to trash mine, get over it. Remember, it was only the Cubs only took 106 years to win one. So, and if that isn't good enough, the White Sox took 80-some years to win it. So your baseball teams haven't been very good. You know, say what you want about the Hawks, say what you want about the Bulls. I don't care, you know.
Exactly. Hey, well, you know what? We're coming down to the final stretch here, Scott. Let everybody know how they can get a hold of you and what you got going on in the works.
Okay, well, very good, Mark. Thank you. You can go ahead and reach me on Twitter at Tribune South. For a lot of you folks that want to see what I look like, so you can insult me next week, that's okay. Do so by at least subscribing to the South Florida Tribune YouTube channel. Subscribe to the South Florida Tribune YouTube channel. Then you can insult me and look at me when you do it, and then I can respond back, okay? What do we have going on? The South Florida Tribune Broadcasting Network has a lot of great shows, of which Mark Mancini and I, our main show is Fire Up, and we have a lot of great things in the pipeline, as well as other shows on the network. So subscribe to the channel, you get to see it all. So there you go.
Before I give it over to you, Bruce, Carlos said he's got a headache from this show. He understands why Miguel can't stand it, but let me ask you something before I give it over to you, Bruce. Carlos, if you can't stand it and you got a headache, why do you keep listening?
Because it's good.
Okay. Now that we're done with that, I am reachable at holyroller91978@gmail.com or on Facebook. And I have no final thoughts.
Well, as for this show going, man, it was just blazing trails all across the thing. We'll keep you abreast of the Bum Run show, all these other great shows across the network. Make sure you tune in next Wednesday. Dusty Baker comes through on True North, man. That'll be a good one. Next Wednesday, 5 to 5:30 West Coast time.
8 to 8:30 on the East Coast time. Till then, for Bruce Kessinger in Oakland, Scott Morgan Roth out there in South Florida, yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles, tell your friends to archive this, listen to it, pass it along. It's an acquired taste. We'll see you next Saturday, high noon on the East, 9 o'clock Pacific. Till then, have a blessed one.